Brother Dan called and asked me to be praying about coming for a revival. I began to look to the Lord and ask the Lord what He would have us to do. And if He'd have us to come, what He would have for the meeting. And the Lord began to talk to me. And as He began to talk to me, the various thoughts that the Lord has laid on my heart is, I don't know how else to describe it other than the general theme that seemed like the Lord has talked to me about is helping us to prepare to meet God. Now, dear ones, I realize that none of us know when that time will be. While for some of us it will probably be much earlier than for others, there's one thing that is certain: every one of us are going to meet the Lord. Just last week, I was driving in the truck and maybe headed to work, I don't remember. And I heard someone talking, and they were talking about how that there is a general feeling among people today that something is going to happen. Now, this person attributed it to the fact that he said there are so many movies and TV shows that are portraying total destruction of our planet. You hear people talk about all these video games and all these things, and there's aliens and all these things that they're projecting and just destroying everything. And they talk about the movies, and I don't watch these things, so I don't know what's on them, but there's all kinds of killing and mass, all this stuff. And this individual said he attributed the feeling that everybody, he said there's just so many people that just feels like something's going to happen. Now, and he attributed it to that. Some people are concerned that global warming is going to destroy our planet. Some people are concerned that there's going to be a financial collapse. Some people are concerned that there's going to be a civil war in our nation. Others are concerned that there's going to be a nuclear war that's just going to destroy everything. I'm going to tell you what my thoughts are on those things. I believe they're all red herrings. That the enemy of man's soul has gotten people distracted on to keep them from focusing on the very thing that is really happening in our world. I believe that the enemy is trying to get them looking over here and looking over there because he knows that people sense that something's going to happen sooner or later. And so he's got them looking this way and that way. For example, you take global warming. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, and I'm not here to argue with anyone, but there are people that are very concerned that global warming is going to destroy our universe. And they have become, some of them, very passionate about making sure that people change their lifestyles and their habits. As you've heard even recently, and if you listen to the news, this Green New Deal and all this, they're to the point they would like to do away with many of the modern conveniences because they're very concerned that it's going to destroy this earth. Well, I will say this. I believe there's going to be a massive global warming. The Bible tells us that this earth is going to be burned up. The very elements are going to be dissolved thereof. But dear ones, I don't believe it's going to be because of greenhouse gases or carbons or anything like that. I believe it's because sin and iniquity will be abounding. The Scriptures are very clear that in that day it will be, the Scripture says, as it was in the days of Noah. It was a very wicked time. The thoughts of men's hearts were on evil continually. Sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it, to our time today. It says it would be as it was in the days of Lot. That was a very wicked time. Very wicked practices were going on. Again, it sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Dear ones, I believe the devil has got people distracted on a lot of things because he doesn't want them to recognize the very thing that's going to destroy this world is sin. And because of the things that are happening and the way people are going, the wrath of God is filling up. And so he's distracting them to other things. And that leads me to the burden that the Lord has laid on my heart for this morning. And I'd like to write something. If you don't mind, if somebody could sing that song number 201 while I'm writing this. I've written on the board, if you can't read my writing or see it, is when, where will it end? That's a question that no doubt many people are wondering. Have you ever been in a place where you have wondered, things have been happening one thing after another, and you begin to wonder, Lord, where, when's it going to end? Perhaps you've experienced some difficult places in your life. Maybe financial troubles, physical troubles, loss of a loved one. Perhaps you had an accident or had car trouble when you could least afford it. Or maybe you lost your job and just all these things kept building up and you're like, Lord, where? When's it going to end? Things that just seem like it's out of your control. Or perhaps sometimes it's something that's not so much out of our control. Maybe it's things that we've made choices and decisions in life. And at the time we made them, we thought, seemed like it was an okay decision. Everything was going to be okay. But as you got further along and you become committed to that decision, and it's too late to change and things start happening, you begin to realize, oh, that wasn't the best decision after all. Do you know, that happens in so many things in our lives. It can happen in things just as simple as a car accident. Have you ever been in a car accident? And as soon as you made that turn or you pulled out into the traffic or you hit the brakes on the ice and you realize, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But it's too late. It's like, you know, it happens so quick, but yet sometimes it's like it's just slow motion. And it's like you can see that wall coming or you can see that car coming and you can almost hear the crinkle of that metal as it all happens and you're thinking, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But it happens, doesn't it? Do you know the same thing happens with so many things? Our finances, job, health. Have you ever taken and eaten something and as soon as you ate it, you realize, oh, I shouldn't have ate that. Made me sick. I was talking to a man one time and he was telling me, he said that he and his wife had gone out to eat with another couple and they were eating, I believe it was at a Mexican restaurant. And he said they were there and while they were there, they were bringing them out these dishes and they had all these hot peppers. And he said he and this other man was sitting there eating those peppers. They just kept eating them and their wives kept warning them, you better quit eating those. It's going to make you sick. And they just kept eating them. And finally, he said, the other couple, the man's wife, she was getting a little frustrated because she had been warning him, and she finally turned to her husband and she said, "If you get sick tonight from eating those peppers, I don't even want you to wake me up. Because I'm not going to ask the Lord to have mercy on you when you knew better than to do what you're doing." Now, this man said they went home, and he said when he got home, it started to bother him. And the longer the night went on, the sicker he got. He said he got so sick, he thought he was going to die. His wife was up helping him and praying with him and all, and he said the only thing I could think was, "Lord, have mercy on brother," and I won't say his name. Because he said, "You see, if he feels like I do, he may lay there and die because his wife's not going to have mercy on him." Well, I say that to say this. Sometimes we do things, we make choices and decisions that causes us to suffer. And sometimes life just has a way of bringing things our way that seem like out of our control. And we're like, "Lord, where, when's it going to end?" It reminds me of a scripture that I'd like to look at in Proverbs, the 16th chapter. Proverbs, the 16th chapter, in the 9th verse. It says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Now, dear ones, we have the ability to devise or plan our own way. We can choose what we want to do, what we want to be, where we want to go, how we want to act or react, but I'm going to tell you, the Lord is the one that determines where that will lead to. I want you to turn with me now to Jeremiah, the 21st chapter. In Jeremiah, the 21st chapter, in the 8th verse, he says, "Unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He that abideth in this city shall die by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth out and falleth into the Chaldeans that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey." Now Jeremiah was warning the people here, talking to them about what was taking place. Chaldeans had surrounded the city, and he was giving them instructions on what they needed to do if they wanted to live. And I want you to notice particularly what he said in this 9th verse. But I want you to keep in mind that the Chaldeans had the city surrounded and their intent was to destroy it. Jeremiah said, "He that abideth in this city shall die by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. But he that goeth out and falleth into the Chaldeans that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey." Now I want you to put yourself in the Israelites' place for just a little bit. Here you are in a city that is surrounded by the enemy. And the prophet is telling you on the one hand that these people are intending to destroy your city, and they're either going to starve you to death or they're going to kill you. And on the other hand, he's telling you that if you will take and go out of your city where you feel safe and protected within the walls of your city and by the strength of the army that's there to protect you, if you'll go out and just surrender to these people, that you'll live. Now, I will tell you, dear ones, human reason will tell you that don't make sense. When you think about this, here you are protected, and now you're going to go out. And these people, you know, he's saying they're going to destroy you. But if you go out and you surrender to them, he's saying you will live. Dear ones, this is the way life is many times. As I was meditating on these thoughts, I could not help but think of how many times I've heard the Lord give this same counsel and advice. Humble yourself. Submit yourself. Surrender. I've had the Lord give that to me in my trials and battles of life. I've had Him give it to me for others that I was counseling that were going through trials and difficult places in life. He said here to surrender. Now, God was letting them know that I've given you a choice. you can take and you can go out and you can devise your way, what you want to do. You can plan it however you want to. But he's saying, I'm going to tell you something. And I want you to notice what God said. God said, unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. What God was letting them know was he's saying, you can take whichever way you want to go. But I'm going to tell you which way and where it's going to end. You choose it, and I'm going to tell you which way, where it's going to end. If you choose this way, it's going to end to life. But if you take this way, what he's saying is, it's going to end in death. Dear ones, I cannot tell you how many times I have witnessed the Lord work through humility to bring about deliverance and victory in my life and in the lives of others. I've told this story no doubt many times, and probably several of you have heard me tell it, but it came to my mind as the Lord was talking to me about this. There was a man that I worked with there at work several years ago. Nobody that's there now, so if somebody from work hears this message, it's nobody there now. He was in upper management. He and I had worked fairly closely together on several things. Until one day he wanted me to do something that I did not feel clear in doing. And so I couldn't do it. And he kept at it and kept at it and kept at it. Until one day he got me out alone. And he looked me in the eye and he said, I'm going to tell you, I have a way of getting what I want. And if you repeat this, I'll deny it. I knew he meant what he said. I knew that he could do it too. I'd seen him take somebody that had been there a lot longer than I have and just get him transferred to a whole other area. Because he didn't like working with them. It wasn't very long before this man took and he began to bypass me, and he started working with one of the guys that reported up to me. And they began to do things, and this young man was just eating it up because this was upper management. They were, you know, he liked that attention. And it got borderline of being insubordination. And it was troubling. And I went to my boss and I began to talk to him about it. I said, this is not right. And he agreed, it's not right. But he seemed powerless to be able to do anything about it. And it just kept happening. And it kept happening. One day I went to my little study there at home, and I fell on my face before the Lord and I just told the Lord all about it. When I got through, the Lord said, you better watch your attitude or you'll be lost. Now, that wasn't really what I wanted to hear. And I could have sat there and tried to argue with the Lord, but I knew he was right. And so I humbled my heart before the Lord and I began to pray. And I began to ask the Lord, Lord, help me. And I prayed until I prayed through. And when I got through, I told the Lord, Lord, don't take it away. Leave it as long as you see, because I want to make heaven my home. I went back to work. The situation hadn't changed. But you know, it didn't bother me like it did. I'm not going to tell you it didn't bother me at all, because those things do. But it didn't affect me like it did before, because there was a change in me. And when the Lord saw that I got the help that I needed, the Lord took care of the situation. He picked that man up and moved him all the way to the East Coast, and I've never seen him again. I got a call one day saying that he is being transferred to the East Coast effective immediately. Now, I'm going to tell you, I hope that he got the help to his soul that I got to mine. But you know, dear ones, I found that the Lord knows how to work in our lives. I found that he does the same thing. He's done that in my marriage, in raising children, in working with others, yes, right among the saints, in all of those things. Dear ones, what I found is the way to heaven is a way of humility. And I'd like to look at another scripture here in Philippians, the second chapter, in the fifth verse. Paul said, let this mind, Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Dear ones, just like with Christ, sometimes it's not about us. Sometimes it's not about what I've done, or I've said, or I haven't done, or I haven't said. Sometimes it's just the way the Lord has chosen to work out His plan. Do you know God had a plan for Israel? That plan was for them to surrender in order to preserve life. Dear ones, I'm going to tell you, God has a plan to save every soul. But sometimes that plan involves you and I humbling ourselves, submitting ourselves, surrendering ourselves in order for God to be able to accomplish His purpose. I'm going to tell you another story. You've probably heard this one as well. It doesn't take very long to hear preacher's stories. You may have even heard Dad tell it, but it is something that has had a great impact on my life. If you ever heard of a man named Johnny Earl? This man, when we lived there on Dry Creek in Kentucky, Dad owned a little farm, and most of it was across the creek and kind of spread out in the valley, and there's a road that come across and went to some neighbors. But where you come from the main road, there was like a little half acre here and a half acre here on both sides of the road before you cross the bridge. Well, that's where Dad planted his part of his garden. That's usually where the potato patch and other things like that were. And one year we came home from, it was either Monarch or Myrtle, and I'm sure they were tired getting off the trip, and we pulled in there, and as we pulled off the road, looked over to the right in the potato patch, and right in the middle of the potato patch was a man on a dozer. And Dad was like, "What is going on?" And he stopped the car and he got out and he walked over to the man and he idled the dozer down, and Dad climbed up on the tracks and introduced himself, and he asked him, he said, what are you doing? He said, "I'm leveling a pad for my house." And Dad said, "Well, I think there's a mistake." He said, "This is my potato patch." And the man looked at him with a hard look and he said, "I just bought this land and I'm building my house here and you can get off of it," or something like that. And he grabbed the throttle and revved it up, and Dad had to jump off the tracks. And he came back to the car with a troubled look. The next day, he went into the courthouse to see what was going on, and they brought it up and said, yes, there was a neighbor down the road a ways that was known to have caused problems, and they had created a fake title and deed and sold this land to this man. Dad knew that they were probably doing it to try to stir up trouble. He talked to the lawyer there, and the lawyer said, "Kurt," he said, "there is no question that's your ground. There's no question that you'll be able to get it back, but you're going to have to take him to court to do it." Dad went home and he began to pray about it. People began to talk to him and said, "Now, if you don't do that, he'll come across the creek and he'll take all of your property." Dad kept praying about it, and he felt like the Lord impressed him, "You just leave it alone. You leave that with me." And the Lord began to put the burden on his heart for this man's soul. Well, it wasn't long before Dad needed some dozer work, and who do you suppose he called? Johnny Earl. He called him, and I've thought about it different times. I wonder, no doubt that man was packing when he came. I'm sure he was used to dealing with people. He knew what he'd done. And I'm sure he came there thinking, he's going to lure me into a trap. And he was, but not the trap he thought. Dad called him in there. He did the dozer work. When he got through, and I was out there when it all happened, and Dad was talking to him like as if nothing had ever happened. They were talking cows and all this stuff, and he was talking, and milk cow had come up there, and he was admiring it, and Dad was telling him what a good milk cow it was, and he said, "I'd like to buy that cow." Dad said, "Well, I've got several children, and we need the milk, and I really don't want to sell it." He kept on. He said, I want to buy that cow." Dad finally said, "Okay." He gave him a good deal on it. He sold it to him. You know, the scripture says, Jesus, when he was talking to Paul, Saul at the time, he said, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Do You know, I believe Johnny Earl was having a hard time. Because as they continued to talk and Dad was trying to steer things more in a spiritual direction, he began to say, make the comment, he said, well, I'm a hard man. He said, I'm an ex-Marine and they make you tough. Dad looked at him, he said, I understand. He said, I'm an ex-Marine too. And Johnny Earl looked at him and he said, but God took that hardness out of me. Do you know, dear ones, when he left, to my knowledge, he never did another thing with that property all the time that we lived there. But it was just, I don't know, 2 years maybe or something like that, maybe less, that he got into an argument with his neighbor over the line fence and he shot and killed him. And he went to the pen for several years. Do you know, dear ones, I'm convinced God had a plan for Johnny Earl. I'm convinced that he had a plan for Dad as well. Dear ones, I'm convinced that the way of the Lord is right. I knew the children of the man that he shot. We rode the bus with him. It affected me. Because I thought, you know, this could have happened to Dad. How different our lives would have been had Dad taken and gone the way that this man did. Do you know, dear ones, I am convinced, I'll say again, that the way of the Lord is right. It'll work. God has a plan. This plan required humility. It required submission. It required surrender. It also required Dad to lose those pieces of property. Years later, when he sold that property, he deeded it out of the rest of the farm because he said, I don't want somebody else to have to deal with this and somebody to lose their life as a result. And so he just sold everything out and he never did anything with that piece of property. Years after we were gone, that man was out of prison. He came back and we were completely out of that area. He built a house upon it. But dear ones, the way of the Lord requires humility. I think about what the Apostle Paul said. You know, dear ones, just because we take the way of humility doesn't mean it's not going to cost us. If sometimes people will take the attitude, well, I'm going to be humble and then the Lord will bless me and all. I'm going to tell you, just because you take the humble way doesn't mean that's not going to cost you. The Apostle Paul said over here in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, in the 7th verse, he said, but what things were gained for me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Dear ones, I want you to know something this morning. You cannot outgive God. If God requires you to give something up for His cause, He has a way of blessing you in areas that you have no idea. Not only did God take and spare Dad's life, but when he later sold that property several years later, he told us, he said, God gave me such a high price out of the rest of that land that it more than made up for those 2 pieces of property that I lost. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the way of the Lord is right. God told the prophet back over here in Jeremiah, he said, unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Now, do you notice what he said? He didn't say when it would end. He only told them where it would end. And dear ones, I don't know what you're going through in your lives, but I want you to know, while I can't tell you when it will end, and I know sometimes that's what we look at. Lord, when's all this stuff, everything that I'm facing, when's it going to be over? I can't tell you when it'll end. But what I can tell you is where it'll end. If you take the Lord's way, it'll end in life. But if you take your own way, it'll end in death. I want to look over in Proverbs, the 16th chapter. Proverbs, the 16th chapter, in the 17th verse, it says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Now, I want you to notice this part first. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Dear ones, this way. This way right here. The highway of holiness is designed to lead us away from evil. It is designed to take us away from the things that will bring about death and destruction in our lives. It's designed to preserve life. And dear ones, that's the burden that the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. Is that you and I might understand the importance of taking God's way. That we might recognize that the way of the Lord will enable us to be able to stand before the throne of God with a clear conscience. That this way that God has given us in His Scriptures, a way of humility, a way of meekness, of quietness. It's a way that God has designed to lead us away from the things that the enemy would take and send our soul to a devil's hell. The older I get, the more convinced I am of it. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I have watched people young and old make choices and decisions that have led them some one way and some another. And I can tell you without any hesitation, the way of the Lord is right. The wise man said, "He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul." Do you know, dear ones, it's good for you and I to humble our hearts, to come to an altar of prayer, to bow, to confess our sins to the Lord and ask Him to forgive us. It's vital in order for you and I to make heaven. But you know, dear ones, we're going to have to maintain an humble spirit in order to be able to make heaven. It's not enough to just start that way and say, "Well, I've come and I've asked the Lord and I've told the Lord that I want to be saved." That's good, but that's not enough. We're going to have to maintain an humble spirit in order to be able to make heaven. When you look at this, each of these ways promote different things. This way here promotes pride, self, self-esteem, all the things that have to do with the flesh. But it leads to strife and envy and jealousy and lust and all the works of the flesh, and in the end, it ends up in eternity, lost in the devil's hell. This way, on the other hand, it promotes things like humility, love, meekness, quietness, all the fruits of the Spirit, and the end thereof is life everlasting. One of these ways, when you look at it, it looks like it's the high ground. I'll just put it that way. The other way is the path of least resistance. One way looks more difficult. You think, "Well, look at those heels, and that's just hard." Isn't that the way the devil paints it? The other way looks much easier, but you know what the Scripture says? The end thereof are the ways of death. He said, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil." Do you know, dear ones, the way that the Lord has plan for His children is a meek and an humble way. It's a way that the Lord has designed things in your path and mine that will prepare us to be able to stand before God. This other way seems much easier, but I'm going to tell you, these people, before they get to here, are going to stand before the throne of God. And these things that are on this path that seem so much easier and that caters to the flesh will not prepare you to stand before the Almighty. I want to turn and look in Isaiah, the 62nd chapter and the 10th verse. You pray for me. Dear ones, the devil will do everything within his power to hinder souls from making heaven. He is going to try to derail us in every way that he can to keep you and I from being able to make heaven, including using you and I if he can, to be a hindrance to souls. This is why, dear ones, the prophet Isaiah, here in Isaiah 62 and 10, said what he did. He said, go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Dear ones, as the people of God, we have a great responsibility to lift up the standard of holiness so that the people can see which way to go. Do you know, dear ones, in the heat and confusion of battle, many times it's easy to get disoriented and distracted and lose your way. When a soldier's out there and they're fighting and they're hand-to-hand combat and they're trying and they're doing everything they can to defeat the enemy, in all the dust and confusion, it's easy to forget where you're at, where you're headed. But you know what? In the olden times, they had a standard bearer. And he'd hold that standard high. And as long as he held that standard high, when no matter where that soldier is, if he's way over here, and he looks around and he said, where's everybody? Oh, I need to get back over there. I need to be by those that's got my back. Do you know what the devil's doing? He wants to take and constantly drag us away little by little and sideline us and get us separated. And that's why, dear ones, it is so important for you and I to stay close to God and close to His people. Because the devil wants to get you and I in a place to where we get disoriented and confused with all the strife and all the things that are going on. And the next thing you know, we're right here and we don't know which way to go and we take another way. And we find ourselves getting farther and farther from safety. Do you know, dear ones, that's exactly what the devil's purpose is. He wants to cause you and I to drift away. Do you know that's what happened in Iraq? I believe it was during Desert Storm. I may not get this right, you probably know it better than I do, but the army was making tracks for Baghdad. That's where they were headed. And they were traveling across the country, and the main segment of the army was going, and I don't remember if it was equipment trouble or what, but there was another group that got separated from the main part. After they got whatever it was taken care of, and they began to follow on behind them, the others were long gone. They come to a point to where there was an intersection like this, and they didn't know which way to go. I don't know if their communication system was broken. I'm going to tell you, when you get separated from God and His people, the devil will break your communication system. You'll be praying, Lord, which way do I go? And I don't know what to do, but you're not in the place you should have been in. You drifted away, and the devil's right there to try to confuse. Somebody decided this is the way we need to go. And they went this way. And when they took that path, what it did is it led them right through the heart of the enemy city. Now the enemy, of course, was surprised to see the American army troops coming right through the heart of their city. They went through unmolested. They went on. They got down a ways and they realized we've gone the wrong way. There's nothing to do but turn around and go back to the main road. When they turned around and they started back, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, this is where the devil gets you. When you leave, the devil he'll let you go unfeathered. And you can go farther and farther and you feel no bands. You just feel like everything. You're just, you know, the south wind's blowing, so to speak. But you begin to recognize where you're at, and you turn around, and I'm going to tell you what happened. When they came right back through the way, through the heart of that city, the enemy was prepared, and he attacked. I can't remember all the details. Some were wounded, maybe some killed, and one American soldier was captured. I tell you this to say this. Dear ones, any time you get on the enemy's territory, you're going to suffer loss. You may not suffer the loss until you get to the point where you recognize that I'm lost and you begin to turn back. And that's when the devil's going to strike. As long as you're going his way, he's going to keep pushing you and encouraging you. But as soon as you turn around and come back, he's going to be prepared. He knows right where you're at. And he knows the spot that you're on because it's His ground. He said, go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Lord, help us, dear ones, that we not be a hindrance to those that are weak, to those that are frail, those that are falling behind us. Lord, help us that we not allow things into our lives that will cause the enemy to be able to destroy precious souls. Do you know it's so easy to adopt the attitude that is so prevalent in our world today? It's not my fault. That's up to them. I went through that. I had to struggle with it. So, hey, let them deal with it. I don't see anything wrong with what I'm doing. So if they have a problem with it, they can just get over it. Have you heard those kind of sentiments? Lord, help us. The prophet said here, he said, cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. What he was exhorting us, dear ones, was that for you and I to take and remove those stumbling stones and those rocks of offense that would cause precious souls to be lost. I realize that we're living in a world where it seems like everybody is offended by something. What do they call them? Snowflakes? It just seems like everybody's like, Lord, I didn't mean anything. Have you ever felt that way? It seems like sometimes that there's just so many things, and sometimes you're just like, Lord, where? When is all this going to end? But you know, dear ones, I'm reminded of what the Lord said over there in Jeremiah. He said, behold, I have set before you the way of life. In the way of death. Do you know, dear ones, regardless of what the world does, you and I are going to have to take the high road. Lord, help us that, He said here, cast up the highway. Do you know, dear ones, when you and I come to those places in our lives, those low places, I'm showing you here some low places. Now, you say, well, I like going down the hill. That's easy to go. And it is. But you know, when you get down in this low place, when you've been up on a mountain and you're just coasting, so to speak, that's the easiest place to be lost. Because then when things start turning around, it's like, oh, Lord, what is this? Another mountain. I can't get over this. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when you go through some of those low places in your life, and you're going to go through them, where you feel tempted to say or do something that hurts instead of heal, I want to challenge you to remember what the writer said. May the Lord help us to fill those places with the grace of God, that those that are weak and those that are coming behind us not be drowned in the tsunami that the enemy has of bitterness, unforgiveness, strife, envy. I'm going to tell you, those things will destroy precious souls. May the Lord help us to cast up those places, to build them up, to take and allow the Lord to fill us. Lord, help us. Dear ones, it's going to take something to be able to stand before the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to be plain with us this morning. We're not going to be able to make heaven with the attitudes that are in the world today. It's going to take something more than that in order for you and I to make heaven. May the Lord help us to have the concern that the Apostle Paul had. Let's just turn over there. 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. In 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and the 13th verse, he said, wherefore if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no meat while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Do you know, dear ones, this ties back to the very principle that God taught the Israelites? It goes all the way back to the very beginning. It ties back to the principle that Christ taught, love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you know, dear ones, this is the principle that many of the things that we preach and teach are founded upon. Humility. Love for one another. You take anything, any of our doctrines, they're founded on the love of God. They're founded on this. God is love. That's a whole other message. But you look at this. Modesty. Do you know it's founded on this? It's not the attitude of the world. Well, hey, if that causes them to lust, that's their problem. No. What the saints have taught is a safe standard. Lord, I don't want to do anything that would cause my brother. No, that person, my brother too, but that person that's out there that has a defiled mind, that is sick, I don't want to do anything that would cause them to be lost. But you know, it goes much farther than modesty. It touches every area of our lives. And it founds back to this. And this is exactly why, dear ones, the world does not want to take this way. It's a way that requires humility, sacrifice, submission, consecration. It's a way that will prepare you and I for heaven. I want to go back to what God told the prophet Jeremiah. He said, unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord. Dear ones, this is not Brother Curtis. This is the word of God. He said, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. While the choice is up to us, we can devise, we can plan which way we want to go. When we face those low places in life, we can take and decide, you know what? I don't want it. I'm tired of this. I'm going to tell them how it is. Do you know we can do that? That's our choice. We can devise whatever we want to do. But I'm going to tell you, once you make that choice, you have no control over where that's going to lead. He said, man devises his way, but the Lord determines where that's going to lead. And the Lord has said that way is going to lead to a devil's hell. Do you know, dear ones, the enemy has gotten people in our world distracted on many things. And they're looking at this and fears about what's going to happen here and fears about what's going to happen there. And they fail to recognize and focus in on the very things that's going to prepare them to be able to stand before God. And that's the burden that the Lord has given me in this meeting. Dear ones, I want to make heaven. I want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I want it for you as well. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's going to take a meek and a humble way. It's going to take more than just bowing once at an altar of prayer. I'm going to tell you, just like I did, I had to go and I had to fall on my knees and pray until I prayed through over something. And when I did, the Lord gave me victory. Dear ones, that's what it's going to take in order for you and I to maintain a spirit of humility. And I'm going to tell you, as I've said, the way of the Lord is a way of humility. The world doesn't want it. They've said, I don't want it. I'm tired. I'm tired of being the one to say I'm sorry. I'm tired of being the one to humble down. And I understand that. That's the flesh. But I'm going to tell you, it's the way to heaven. And dear ones, the burden that the Lord has given me for this meeting is that you and I can be prepared and that we focus on the things that will enable you and I to stand before the Lord in peace. And I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you to take the humble way. To ask the Lord, Lord, when I get to those low places, Lord, will you help me to submit to you? Lord, will you help me to give it all to you, whatever it costs? Lord, I want to make heaven. Don't allow the enemy to focus you on all these other things. It's not my fault. It's all this other. I want to encourage you to take the steps that will prepare you to stand before God. I don't know when you're going to have to do that. You don't know when I have to. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, every one of us are going to have to do that. And the only way that we can stand before Him in peace is if we maintain a humble spirit. God, what does it say? Will not walk with the proud or the haughty. Humble thyself to walk with God. I appreciate your attention this morning.